Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, a jam-packed show planned for you today. Dana Gould comes in here and just destroys, as only Dana Gould could do with Huell's Jewels. First, we talk about Henry Ford. I'm going to tell you something about Henry Ford you've never heard before, but I think you're going to find it philosophically very interesting, and you'll have some use for it in your life, I guarantee it. So hear it and share it now more than ever. I think people are going to need this message. First, let me tell you about Pepsi, the new year, officially here. Everyone's got their restrictive resolutions. Oh, everyone's out cutting this, that, and cutting everything else out. Pepsi wants you to usher in a new decade a little differently, encouraging everyone to enjoy. Be unapologetic about it. Just enjoy. Spread that joy a little. Like, I'm going to watch the games on Sunday with a few guys, and I'm going to exceed my caloric normal count, and I'm going to enjoy myself. I'm going to cheer on my team. I'm going to be loud about it. I'm going to do my thing, or when I'm racing my car, I do my thing, man. I enjoy it, and everything else simply falls away. Pepsi, that's what I like. Get out there and enjoy this year and have yourself a Pepsi, would you? Tell them the Ace Man sent you.
From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Dana Gould, with Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and we're going to go hiking with Huell Hauser in today's Huell's Jewels. And now, still outraged, Jules Dash was snubbed for an Oscar. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Have to get it on. No choice but to get it on. A mandate. Get it on. Thank you for taking the time to share this show with a friend, coworker, or loved one. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
And Bald Brian.
If it's hysterical, it's historical.
That's right.
I was working on the, I did the Tale of Two Jerrys last year, Jerry Porter and Jerry Rice. Much can be learned from that. I was working now on the Tale of Two Janes.
Jane?
Jane.
Ooh, interesting.
Jane Goodall versus Jane Fonda.
You cannot imagine how wrong you are.
Interesting.
My mom wasn't a fan of Jane Goodall until she heard that clip.
And then she was all in.
President of the fan club.
I'm just looking down at their, and I'm not going to go too deep into their careers, but to compare and contrast, both still alive, about the same age. Jane Goodall is 85. Jane Fonda's 82, activist, and so on and so forth. Now, you tell me you figure out which one. We'll do the first husband.
All right.
The profession of the first husband. Don't answer until you've heard the profession of the first husband. And then you tell me which one married which, okay? Yep. Jane Goodall.
Jane Fonda.
Jane Fonda. French film director Roger Vadim or Dutch nobleman and wildlife photographer Baron Hugo van Lawick.
Okay, hold on.
You want to write it down?
Is not both the same person? There's one
different
there's
two
one for
different
each.
Dudes. Okay.
Let's deconstruct this a minute.
Which one did Jane Goodall marry and which one did Jane Fonda marry?
I mean, I'm going to say French photographer for Jane Fonda.
Well, now
I mean French filmmaker.
French. Yeah, the wildlife expert would probably make more sense for Jane Goodall.
I mean, how on point is Jane Goodall, your first husband, Dutch nobleman, wildlife photographer, Baron Hugo van Lawick?
As he should be.
That's
so
on brand.
Fucking on point, right?
Yeah,
it's great.
It's like she met him like, you're for me. He's like, who are you? Don't worry about it.
Fill you
and,
later.
And also first. Yeah, French film director, pretty good too. So I'll tell you in subsequent episodes. Of
You'll sprinkle those in
a series
of two Janes, but it's interesting. They're both activists and both interesting people. Dana Gould coming in, excited about that. Huell Hauser cannot get enough of him and Huell Hauser. Yes,
can I pat myself on the back a little bit? And this is so trivial, it's stupid, but it reminded me. We used to do a segment on the morning show called "Do Yourself a Favor," and it was a good segment. I learned a lot. I still incorporate some of those little life tips and tricks. I drive in to pull into. Pull into the parking lot here, and I see Matt Fondelier scratching at his license plate with a screwdriver, the flathead screwdriver. And instantly, having been there before, I kind of knew what was up. And I'm like, hey, what's going on there, buddy?
Well, let me jump in. Yeah. Matt isn't handy. So that was him trying to get into his car.
The license plate was like in his hand. Like he had detached.
But that's how he doesn't understand
Brian.
The handle.
He really is unhandy.
He's not a handy man.
So I say, what's up, Matt? And he goes, someone pulled the stickers off of my registration stickers off of my license plate, obviously to put it on their car, and I got a ticket for it. Now I got to put this new sticker on, blah, blah, blah.
Yes.
And I'm trying to get the old sticker off, so yes. They can't peel it off of the sticker again. I said, mm-hmm. Matt, I've been there. I had my sticker stolen from my truck at USC in like 1998.
It's bad sign for a city when people are pulling registration stickers off license plate. But yes,
usually what happens is you just put the sticker. You put the sticker on the old sticker, and it just peels. Right. Yeah. It can peel off much more easily than off the metal. Mm-hmm. So Matt, get yourself a pair of scissors or a knife or a razor blade. Stick that sticker on. Score it. One way diagonal, score, 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 score. Other way diagonal, score, 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 score. So now you have little diamond shapes. Can't be pulled off. They can pull off a little tiny piece here and there. They're not going to get your sticker.
Yep. I remember that one. And it's right up there with me defiling my stereo in my truck not to get it stolen. Like, sadly, it's like, well, so many women are being raped that I had to gain 700 pounds and jam a Duralog up my snatch to prevent this. Like, I get it. It still doesn't mean we're living in a great society.
Yeah, it's an indicator.
Do you remember that SNL sketch? I think it's from the Phil Hartman days where it's a total just clunker piece of junk car outside. But
the
luxury sedan.
Was it the Mirage? Was it called the Mirage or something?
And a luxury, beautiful car on the inside. Yeah.
Yeah, it was like the new Mirage.
That's our era.
It was like a dripping transmission says, just keep walking. Yeah.
Right.
It was like you sold like it was like a Lexus or something, but it was a piece of crap.
I don't remember that commercial.
It was a luxury interior, but outside it looked like a piece of junk.
Yeah, for just such an occasion.
Mismatch had a school bus hubcap. Mm-hmm. So good.
What year do we? Early 90s?
Yeah, that was like prime. Yeah, 92.
Well, speaking of cars, this will lead me into my Henry Ford notions that I'd like to share with y'all. I was talking to Dr. Drew about it. Henry Ford was a complex man. An interesting man. Did a lot of good and did a lot of bad. Had lots of good thoughts and had lots of bad thoughts. But there's something that I've never really discussed with you guys about Henry Ford, who, again, he built bombers that helped win World War II. But he was an anti-Semite. Mm-hmm. You know, things of that nature.
He's a complicated guy.
He distributed some leaflets.
Yes. And what people don't know is he built Willow Run, and that's where they built all the B-17s or B-25s or whatever, or B-24s or whatever they were building to bomb Germany and the Nazis. He also built himself a place called like Evergreen or Gary will figure it out. But
Greenfield.
He, Henry Ford. And so I've talked a lot about everyone's on a tablet, everyone's on a screen, everyone's watching the news crawl, and everyone's slowly going insane. And everyone needs to get engaged, get a project, get their hands down into the soil, start moving, sweating, and really start Well, you know, the thing about a physical project is you are present.
Yeah.
So
it's,
you
it's
don't
par
when,
for
when
the
you're
course.
You know, when you have an anvil and a hot horseshoe and you're banging on the ball peen hammer, you don't have to have a mantra of like, get in the moment. If you're not in the moment, you'll smash your hand.
Right.
You know, you are by virtue of the activity in the moment. When you're flaring out in the NFL and you're running back and the ball's in the air, you're in the moment.
Yeah,
you don't need
about,
to put yourself in the moment. When you're driving in a race car, you don't put yourself in the moment. When you're building something or hoisting something or doing, you're there, you know? And that's kind of the key. The part with you having the mantra of like, be in the moment, be focused, take time to whatever, that never works.
Right.
It's inherently broken because something pops up on TV and you're right out of them. You're right out of
but
it.
But you don't have to tell it to the free solo guy.
Don't have to tell it to the free solo guy. You don't have to tell it to the Acapulco cliff diver to be in the moment. You're in the moment. So Henry Ford had this place called Greenfield Village, sort of a Spillikin Corners for those who remember the old Magic Mountain place that had like the old-timey stuff. He had a lot of acreage outside of Detroit, Dearborn or whatever, he took his acreage and instead of building another factory, he built an old-timey sort of town. Where people like
not signs. What's the other M. Night Shyamalan movie?
The village. She built the village. People, you churn butter. You tilled the fields.
Wow.
You harvested the corn. So the guy who is responsible for mechanization, the guy who invented conveyor belt that we're on now,
thrust us
into
the
this notion. The guy who built this thing knew the virtues of churning your own butter and tilling your own fields and shoeing your own horses. Yeah. He knew it. The guy who invented all this. Now, obviously, there's no Google and there's no internet, but he was the internet of the day.
Oh, yeah.
He was the Google of the day. He was churning out this product and this product, and he knew it was leading us down this path of like, we're pursue the next car and the faster, like you're churning out one every 17 minutes. I need one out every nine minutes. You know, like he was churning and churning and churning, but he knew the value of going to this place and like living in another era.
Wow.
And it's called Greenfield Village. It was dedicated in 1929. He was probably at the height of his production automobile powers. I don't know. Ford probably had 80% of the market in 1929, maybe more. He wanted people to. It was finished in the early 40s, I guess, completely. But the thing that was interesting is in the early 40s, he was simultaneously building this town where people could churn their own butter and building B-24s at Willow Run.
He had everything covered.
Massive, massive factory to build an arsenal of planes that just drop tonnage of bombs on Europe.
It's amazing. Was this supposed to be a working village or like a tourist?
It was for his employees?
Yeah, like a theme park almost.
I don't think people live there and like made a living churning butter or shoeing horses. They're just doing demonstrations and stuff.
Is it still around?
It's still around in some form. Glass blowers, blacksmiths, weavers, shoemakers, potters, brick makers.
Damn. I'd like to visit this town.
Yeah.
It's just bizarre that it was going on while he was making the most advanced airplanes and weaponry physically possible at that time.
Yeah.
And that he very much knew the benefits of going back to that world.
A Jewless world.
Yeah. Day without a Jew. That's write that down.
Mandatory Bible study.
See you guys next week, I guess.
Wonder if there's a synagogue in the little town.
Yeah. That gets firebombed.
I'm going to go with no. But it was, I mean, if you could show pictures of that town and put them up to Willow Run, you would see the greatest contrast.
Wow.
And also, you think Ford by nature is just what's next. So you have acreage.
Innovator,
why aren't you building a plant to make engines or transmissions? Why are you making one to have shop, you know, candle makers?
Yeah.
Step backwards.
But he knew it.
It's oddly self-aware.
Well, it's interesting
or
because
societally aware.
I think everyone else would have been caught up at that point in the consumption. Right? Like, we could have a car. Mm-hmm. Our family could have two cars. I don't have to take a horse to work, or I don't have to walk. We can, what's next? What's next? What's next? He was probably there already.
Right.
And probably way ahead of everything. Probably realized pretty quickly that the money didn't really solve the problems. Had kids who had money and it didn't seem to serve them that well, and understood that this return to these days of yore, this is where the simple pleasures are.
It's almost like his own little West world. It's like his fantasy world.
Yeah.
You think there's a version of he wanted to balance out like his soul or his interests? You know what I mean? He was so heavily involved in technology and innovation. And you know, he also had this part of him like in a much, 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 much smaller scale. Like, you know, 16 weeks into football season, like all I want to do is watch the movies. You know what I mean? Like I'm so steeped in like a fantasy football and blah, blah. It's like, I just want to watch a movie. Like, because the soul, it gets imbalanced. The things you're into, I don't know, things that make you happy.
I think he was a very pragmatic guy who sort of knew the virtue of hard work and that sort of getting your hands dirty and being with the earth and sort of that kind of stuff. And also there's an element of, the Nobel Peace Prize, the guy invented dynamite.
Right.
You know what I mean? Many of the people who worked on the atom bomb became pacifists. You know, there is an element of
balance it out.
The porn star becomes a born again Christian. Right. We have that. That's how we roll.
Yes, we
so
do.
He probably, but just like, If I've been traveling around and performing on stage and meeting everyone and shaking hands, my ideal evening is just me in front of the TV set in a bathrobe, my feet up, nobody in the room.
This
you know?
Is such a stupid example, and it's very on brand, but after a full day of wine tasting, there's nothing you want more than a beer. There's nothing you want more than a beer.
Oh,
it's
put
true.
That down in my coffee table book, what black people think white people talk about all day. I mean, you're looking at Willow Run, which is this endless factory of B-20, B-17s, I think, or B-24s. Maybe B-24s or B-17s. As far as the eye can see, you're just cranking out airplanes. And then there's just this little old-timey B-24s.
Stop, next stop, Willoughby, Twilight Zone, old-timey town.
Yeah, I just thought it was interesting. And as I was thinking about that, the question is like, where is your green field? What is your green field?
Right.
What is that version? Mm-hmm. If you're now, we're all kind of Henry Ford and that we all have access to everything all the time and everything's flying. Mm-hmm. We're all sort of living. We have a giant factory in our head now because this info, you know, for him, it was external, but for us, it's internal. Right. It's just everything's on a ticker tape and everything's on a crawl and everything's just moving in our head at a thousand miles an hour and a thousand different ideas. What is your green field? Where's your place? Where do you go to get back to that pace? And it's interesting that instinctively I've always said, take a hike, put classical music on, get out, move, get in nature, whatever. And Ford knew that. Or Ford built that, and he wanted to share it with people. Like, he knew that this was a simpler, better way. And look, whatever time you're in is modern times to you. You know, he probably thought everyone having a car and everyone having a telephone at their house or a radio was too much, too fast, too whatever.
Too decadent.
Our version is of a smartphone. He was probably thinking about that with a AM radio.
Right.
I thought it was interesting,
cool.
And I'd forgotten about that part, that chapter in his career.
I never knew that.
He was a complex dude.
Find your green field.
Find your green field, everyone. That is your new purpose. Yes.
Question, and not that you'll be able to answer this. In fact, I almost hope that you can't. But
moving on.
With somebody who's so innovative and understands business and understands relationships and blah, 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 why did he hate the Jews so much?
I don't know where that stemmed from.
Because you'd think, just in terms of, you know, networking and being creating this empire, you're going to run into business people who are Jewish, and you're going to have a respect for
them. Not back then, though, because I remember reading in, I think it was Freakonomics, but it might have been more of Malcolm Gladwell's books, why so many Jewish people became lawyers, and it was because
moneylenders.
That was looked at as a lower class job way back in the 1920s or whatever it was. So I don't know how many he encountered on a social. He is a rich guy. I don't know how many he encountered in his life.
And guys are easy to hate. It doesn't take a
with
lot.
With all the kvetching.
that's understood.
Yeah. Well, that's
I don't know.
Eugene Merman has a joke that is one of my favorite jokes of all time when he said, he's been on the show.
Yeah.
And he said,
he's a Jew?
Yeah.
Eugene?
And actually,
Merman?
It has nothing to do with that, if you can believe it. But he said he was going to an audition for some period piece, and they told him to dress in appropriate attire from the early 19th century or 1900s. He said, I didn't have anything. I was just going to an audition. So I put on a suit and hung a sign around my neck that said, Irish need not apply.
That's good.
Ford famously had an anti-Jewish propaganda paper that he distributed and insisted all his dealerships stock it.
Jesus.
So, you know, when you're getting your tires rotated or you're getting a lube, you can read about how evil the Jews are. And you got to imagine that the dealers were like, oh, we have some Jews want to buy cars. Yeah. You know, we don't really. And he's like, put them out. Make sure they're, you know. And they were like, yeah. And I, I could imagine him visiting a dealership going, where's my Nazi shopper propaganda? And him going, oh, Bob, I told you to put those by the front.
Better yet, we're fresh out.
We're fresh out.
We're selling like hotcakes.
Wow.
Yeah, and maybe it was like that horrible sweater your grandma got you when you were 13. You had to put it on when she came over to visit. Like maybe, like Ford's going, everyone pick up the anti-Jew propaganda paper and start, look at it.
What a layout.
Where's my highlighter? Oh, Mr. Ford.
What are you doing here?
I couldn't see you.
Where's my highlighter?
That's funny.
So it was called the Dearborn Independent.
God damn.
Wow. Yeah, I guess you got to be independent if that's, gotta that's
be.
Your theme.
There's been a lot of the syndicates out there looking for it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, funny. I'd like to read the classified section. All it said was, oh, I bet you'd like to save money, you fucking sympathizers. Look at you. Go out and get something retail, would you, bitches? I knew it. Gotcha. All right. Let's see. We have... we need someone to pull balls for us in where? Milwaukee and Chicago?
We have two callers here. Sue wants to pull your balls in Milwaukee, and Jody wants to pull your balls in Chicago.
Oh.
So we can talk to them.
All right. Let's talk to Sue. Sue?
Yes?
You're in Milwaukee?
Actually, I'm in Dripping Springs, Texas, but I know how to get to Milwaukee.
Jesus.
Whoa. Wow. You must be heavy set.
I'm coming 1,000 miles to see you.
A lot of direct flights from Dripping Springs to Milwaukee.
What's it
not
called?
Not even close.
Dripping Springs?
That's right. I had to drive to Dripping Springs to make the phone call because I don't have cell service at home.
Oh, my God.
Wow. That's say hi to Mr. Drucker. wait a minute. You heard goat farming? What's going on? What do you do, Sue?
I make goat cheese.
Oh, boy.
Bring some.
Yeah. Send it to Brian and Gina, not Adam.
Yeah. How do you make goat cheese?
Well, you have to have it very hard and milk the goats every morning.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have to filter the milk and get it chilled down and add culture and age it.
Yeah. Ironic that there's culture being thrown around. What time do you get up to milk those goats?
Well, they're kind of on my schedule, so I don't milk until about 8 in the morning.
And you milk them all. What would an average goat give you on an average milking?
1.5 gallons.
Wow.
1.5 gallons?
Each, yeah.
Yeah, each.
My God.
I would have never guessed that a little goat put out 1.5 gallons every single day.
Every day. I could get more, except for I only milk them once a day, and I leave their little kids on them, so I don't have to do it twice a day.
What do we need to know about goats? Friendly? Hostile?
Precocious.
Very friendly.
Mm-hmm.
The dairy goats are handled every single day, so they're kind of like having big dogs out in the yard.
Do they enjoy being milked like I do?
They sure do.
Could you bring your milking glove to Milwaukee?
Oh, my.
Oh, she bare hands. She raw dogs it.
Oh, yeah. I do bare hand, yes.
Yeah. See? I'll bring the udder bomb.
That's a woman. The udder bomb.
I'm a frequent purchaser of udder bomb.
I'll bet.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Listen, if you're going to travel that hard and be that focused and that dedicated to come see me in Milwaukee at the Pabst Theater, I should say, January 24th, then you've just got yourself a ticket up on stage.
That's pretty great.
Beautiful. Beautiful. I have one other reason you should pick me, even though I've been picked.
Yeah, it's the line.
I already know how to get there because I grew up just out of Milwaukee.
Oh.
Good. Thanks, Sue. The line's a little iffy, but we'll see you on the 24th. You come up and there'll be lots of jokes at your expense about goats.
One condition, bring the goat.
Bring the goat. Ride the goat.
Ride the goat.
I'm agnostic on goats.
They seem really cute and precocious. They're kind of the it animal now.
Yeah, with the yoga. Yeah.
Whereas kitten videos were all the thing back in the day on YouTube. Goat screaming videos.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The best.
And then the ones that fall over.
Yeah, I don't like that. Goats. Yeah, that's
no good. Fainting goats. Yeah. It's kind of an interesting wiring, the person who wants to scare goats.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Yeah.
They get paralyzed.
Is it the same? Let me ask you this. Is it the same wiring of people, like if there's something on the internet, like, oh, this journalist got beheaded by Al-Qaeda and they want to see it?
It's a junior version, but yeah.
Well, even people, last year it was about putting a cucumber.
Wait a minute, you say one's
it's
worse?
It's not the same thing. Not the same thing.
It went viral to put a cucumber or a pickle next to a cat and see them notice it and fucking jump 10 feet in the air.
Really?
Because they register it as some sort of a predator or a lizard or something. Mm. And so it was so funny to watch these videos with a put a cucumber down and a cat will lose its mind.
Kind of funny.
I don't like stuff like that.
Funny.
I don't know. It bums me out. Oh, there's one. They don't like cucumbers.
The cats suck, though.
I don't.
Goats are all right.
I just don't like when people trick animals. Like let them do their thing.
Yeah, I agree. There's a part of you that either likes it or there's no.
There's the Bryans and there's the good people.
Oh, stop it! No, the screaming goats are great. The fainting goats.
What I'm saying is like either don't want to see it or you do want to see it. You're not really agnostic about
agreed.
It. Like it's sort of in the middle.
You got some screaming goat videos.
Hey, Jody, you want to pull some balls in Chicago?
Adam. Hey, how are you, Adam? Yeah, I want to be your bulk pop brewer.
What do you milk?
In Chicago, we don't milk. Mm-hmm. But now that we're legal here, I thought maybe you and I come and check out some of the goods here since Illinois became legal as of January 1st for marijuana.
Oh, it's a lot of pot.
Yeah, we can get that out here. That's nothing special.
Yeah, I know you guys have it there, but it's a big thing here now that it just became legal.
I think you'd rather have a good Polish sausage.
Or deep dish, yeah.
Yeah,
I can do that.
Yeah. Did you say pull my sausage or say something else?
Yeah, no, I said pull his sausage.
Polish off his sausage.
I'm obsessed with this milking thing now. you work in affordable housing?
I do. I figured you could do the whole show on affordable housing.
Oh, okay. I want to talk about that. Now, just to be clear, you're not an accountant or you don't sell textiles in an affordable house. That's working in affordable housing.
I administer grants. For affordable housing.
Interesting.
So in an affordable house? That, just answer the question. Yeah, what's going on? What's it going to take to get a grant for affordable housing in Chicago?
So you have to be a certain area medium income, so you only can make a certain amount of money, which is pretty high here. Maybe for a family of four, it's like 70 or 80,000, which is pretty high. You can get a grant for $25,000 and you don't have to pay it back.
Whoa.
And, or just grease Jody's palms some weed.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a pretty good deal here, actually, I have to say.
I'm interested in the people that are interested in weed based on whether it's legal or not. Because I've always sort of said, I have friends that always smoke weed. My dad never smoked weed. And legal or not didn't change that relationship with either one of them.
Nope.
But for
my friends, she won't smoke weed. Even if it's legal, she won't even try a gummy.
It's an interesting thing where most of the people I talk to that don't like weed, they don't like the loss of control feeling, whereas the other people are striving for the loss
they
of control.
They lean into it, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. There can't be a better buzz than a daytime champagne-y, beer-y, wine-y buzz, though. Yeah. Is there a better buzz than a brunch buzz?
Like, it's pretty great.
I compare it.
It goes right into football. That's perfect.
Yeah. The thing about me and weed, well, actually, to give weed...
it's due.
To give it's due.
The devil's lettuce is due.
Everyone kind of goes, oh, the weed, I get the munchies. Mm-hmm. And I always just eat a bunch of shit I regret eating. But when I get drunk, I eat a bunch of shit I regret. I regret as well. So it's kind of a two-way street. Yeah. How old are you, Jody?
I'm 57-ish.
57-ish?
Oddly.
And what is an average house? I mean, God, Chicago's probably like... You got really expensive places, and then you got not so much, right?
Right. So I live in a high rise. So I live up by Wrigley Field, a one-bedroom condo. I mean, they can go anywhere from $150 to $850.
Yeah, a lot of range.
Wrigley, for one bedroom, you could probably get like $200, $250, a decent place.
I heard the murder rate was really high in certain
three
parts of town.
Left.
Yeah,
that's three blocks away. Don't worry about that.
Yeah, I'm safe.
It is a weird relationship.
Hello, Jody!
It's a strange relationship we have with bad neighborhoods and murder, which is, you know, if you picked some place that was, you know, like if you pick some place in Central America mm-hmm. or South America that was just riddled with crime and riddled with murder, you wouldn't go. Well, that's a full 2.5 miles from where I live.
Yeah.
You'd be very upset by it, mm-hmm. right? L.A. is the same way.
Yeah.
The Crips and the Bloods, but that's 7 blocks away.
Yeah. They don't want anything in Los Feliz.
Nothing travels better than a bullet, if you think about it.
Hold on.
And, you know, they did kind of invent the drive-by, so they're bringing the mountain to Muhammad, yeah. you know what I mean? They have a bullet which travels very well.
God, I'd love to kill that cow, but he never comes to the neighborhood.
And they've invented something called a drive-by. They perfected it, one could argue, so I don't know how safe I'd feel on my porch going, well, that shit's happening 300 yards up the street. But, sorry, Jody.
Jody's fine with it.
Yeah. Very sad.
Jody, both sides of my family grew up in Wilmette and Skokie, so I was basically raised there.
North side.
Yeah, and those little, you know, those little very cute box houses.
Yeah, the little Jewish areas.
What do you think? Oh, yeah, that's true. That's true. You know why? Because they weren't allowed in the other neighborhoods. What do you think one of those little cute little box, you know, two bedrooms goes for these days? Two bedroom, two bathrooms.
I don't know, like a little bungalow or something maybe. I'd say around like probably $250,000-$300,000.
Oh, wow.
Oh, Chicago's having a drop in homicide, so you're in good shape.
Oh, good.
Oh, good. I feel safe.
Where is some Polish food? Where can we eat some Polack food? We're going to be rolling into town.
Milwaukee Avenue is the place to go for Polish food.
Well, we're going to be in Milwaukee. Maybe we should just stay in Milwaukee and eat Polish food.
Go for the Polish hot dog.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to recommend a good steak place for you. I know you like a good steak.
I do, but our feeling is when we hit that sort of middle-ish of the country, I can get a good steak out here.
I'm not going to St. Louis for tacos.
Right.
Go for barbecue. Okay.
That's right. That's right.
So you want Chicago food.
Yeah.
Yeah, he doesn't want to go to Dengio's.
You are you're in, Jody. We're gonna have we're gonna have you pulling balls up there on stage in Chicago. Chicago's Park West, that's 25th. That is almost sold out. So if you want tickets to that, you should hop on that one.
Awesome.
All right, Dana Gould's running a little bit late, so I hear. Thank you, my dear. Yes.
I'm gonna have my aunt just come and bring you some Polish sausage because she's there. I'm sure she's going to the show anyway. So just put in your order and let me, and she'll bring it to the theater.
I appreciate that. Here's how food in the dressing room works.
You don't get any Mike Eats at all?
Well, I'm going out on stage. Yeah. And when I was a kid.
Hey, Mike, he's talking about you, you fuck ass.
When I was a kid, I used to do this thing I believe I've gotten into it with you guys about, but I didn't overeat because there wasn't any good food, but when I would go to my grandfather's house, I would get my fucking feed on with the gnocchi and the no kettle or
no
the goulash and all this stuff, mm-hmm. and I would just go berserk. And after I'd gone berserk, I would lay down on the floor underneath the table. I would just lay on my back underneath the table. When I ate, now we all have a thing of you eat and then you want to lay down kind of feel. But I may have more of that than most people. When I
You're
eat,
like Phil.
Yeah, I just want to lay it out.
Yeah.
So the notion of eating and then walking out on stage always feels counterintuitive to me.
Me too.
So what I do is I go, thank you for that offering. I shall eat it when I get off stage. And then when I come back into the dressing room, Mike has demolished whatever's been left there.
Right.
And he's watching college football, and he's explaining that this team used to be in the Big Eight, and then they moved it to the WAC, and then they moved it to the Southern Pacific Conference, and whatever it is. And then he tells me his dad had a friend who coached there for a number of years, and then I yell at him, "Where's the kielbasa?"
Okay.
And then he goes back to college football.
And is he watching on the TV that's for the closed circuit so he can see the stage?
Probably.
Okay.
That's all I know. All right.
So, great set. When you converted that third down, that was amazing.
Let me tell you about Butcher Box. High quality meat sent right to your home. Oh, I love
Speaking
this stuff.
Which.
No antibiotics, no hormones. Each box comes with between 9 and 11 pounds of meat, enough for 24 individual meals. Plus, wild, sustainably harvested salmon sourced from fishermen in Bristol Bay, Alaska, who uphold a strict handling practices and guarantee quality. Mm-hmm. Free shipping anywhere in the U.S., except for Alaska and Hawaii. And they got an offer, $20 off your first box, plus 2 pounds of wild-caught Alaskan salmon at butcherbox.com/Adam. Or enter promo code Adam at checkout. This stuff is the best. And the main thing is it's always there. You don't have to run out. Yeah. It's there. I just had their steaks the other night. It's so good. Oh. It's much better than it needs to be. 2 pounds of wild Alaskan salmon. Wild Alaskan salmon. Free. And $20 off your first box at butcherbox.com/Adam or enter the promo code Adam at checkout. All right, we will take ourselves a quick break. We'll be right back after this.
ACS fans, get it on. The NFL playoffs are here, and you know what that means. We're getting closer and closer to that final Sunday of the season. You've heard Adam rant about pass interference, ball spotting, and field goal posts on the podcast. But now's your chance to experience it live. When you sign up for the newsletter at CorollaNewsletter.com, you'll be automatically entered for a chance to win an all-expense-paid trip to Los Angeles to watch the last game of the season in the Carr Museum with Adam and friends. That's wings, barbecue, plenty of endless rant, and hey, it's Hollywood, so who knows who'll be there? So get to CorollaNewsletter.com today. You and a friend may be flying out to the city of homeless angels to hear Adam rant live about the spread Sal made him bet on. CorollaNewsletter.com, tonight!
In the spirit of Murrow, Jennings, Cronkite, here's another great moment in local news.
An iconic local brewery will soon shut off its taps, and along with it, more than 450 jobs. Many in the community are shocked.
People drink beer, and it's like you would never think it would close, you know?
That's a great moment in local news. Now, back to the Adam Carolla Show.
It's funny, I was sitting in the car at the Comedy Store last night. At the store, sorry, waiting to go up on stage. Whoever I spoke to during the day said, come in at 8:45, and he kind of meant 9:45. Mm. People with information, as we've discussed, kind of fast and loose. And that makes a difference when you're coming from where I'm driving to and basically having an hour or so to wait around. But I got on the phone with Mike Lynch because Mike and I had been working on the book, which is done. I'll be your emotional support animal and up ready for pre-order on Amazon or Barnes & Noble, whatever.
Sorry, just because people will want to find this book and pre-order it, I'm your emotional support animal.
What'd I say? I'll be.
I'll be, yeah. Because they will be searching for
it. You're right. Thank you. I'm your emotional support animal. So I was working on it when I was riding in, and then I told him at the Comedy Store, so I got to jump. But then once I went in and found out I was an hour early, I turned back around, got back in the car, and just called him again. And it was funny. So he was reading the notes from the editor, which are, you know, some are good, some are not, some are whatever. They're minimal. And it was all fine. But there's one note. So I said, so Mike starts reading the note from the editor. And it's on the subject where I was talking about teachers and how I never had a good one. And some of these people are heroes, but most of them are just lazy and don't want to go out and compete in the real world. And then he starts reading the rebuttal or the note. Starts reading the note from the editor.
Yeah.
And he goes... Yeah, whatever it is. He goes, you know, I disagree with this comment and this blah, blah, blah. I happen to know blah, blah. And I just stopped him and I said, all right, somebody's parent's a teacher. Somebody's parent's a teacher. And then Mike starts laughing real hard and he goes, can I continue? And I was like, yep. My mom is a teacher. And I go, yes, I know. I know. Because I know whenever the people fight it hard. You don't have to worry about that with me and whatever my parents do. I don't defend it. But the people that hate it the most are the people that like their parents. Mm-hmm. Their parents are teachers, and then you start talking shit. Look, it'd be the same with firemen or cop or sure. anything. I get it. It's just funny that halfway into the here's why we need to fix this chapter, I just stopped and went, someone's mom, someone's dad, they're a teacher. Mom and that was literally the next statement.
But you're not giving stats that are like inaccurate. You're giving a comedic opinion on what you think, on your view.
I get it. But when the person who's reading it's mom is a teacher.
It's not right. so funny.
Not so funny.
Okay.
Not so comedic, it
yes.
turns out.
All right. And also, you start realizing, like I've kind of said, I don't think teachers are that as interested in work as we'd initially thought. I just had my kids were off for their winter vacation. They were off for like 17 days. Like, and so were the teachers, and so is the faculty. You don't realize that people do a thing where Christmas was on Wednesday, or like New Year's was Wednesday, whatever. I went into the other shop on Thursday, Friday. Nate was there. Those guys were there. Like, people were drifting in and out of work all vacation. These guys, 17 days off. Finally, it comes to an end, and I go, all right, well, back to the salt mine. You know, Sunday night, Monday morning, you're going back to, you got to go back into school. And Sonny's like, we're no school tomorrow.
Hmm?
And I go, wait a minute. You just had 17 days off, and now Monday.
It's Monday.
Back to work.
We're past the new year. Mm-hmm. We're into the new year. It's New Year's was on a Wednesday or something. It's just Monday. It's time to go. No school. I go, why not? That's a teacher day. That's where they get to grade the blah, 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 blah. And I'm just going, okay, they're not it. Look. What if you had a transmission shop and none of your clients ever wanted their car back or wanted their transmission fixed?
That'd be great.
And loved it when you were closed and you got paid anyway. Wouldn't you just
best day of your life?
Would you take a lot of days?
Sure.
Okay. I'm telling you, they ain't into work. Mm. Most aren't. Because what the fuck do you need a Monday off if you've just literally taken 17 days off?
No.
All right. Anyway, but though here's the good news. You're not going to get any complaints from Sonny.
No.
He's the clientele.
Quite the opposite.
All right. Let's see. We have some rich man, poor man. We have unprepared. Where was this one from?
This is from the Sirius XM Garage with Mike August pulling your balls.
Mike August.
As he does.
All right. Here we go.
Manicures. A lot of dudes, ironically, putting the man in manicures are getting a lot of manicures. I haven't gotten a manicure before. I know everyone says like how relaxing it is. I'm not comfortable with poor people working on me for long periods of time. Evidently, this is a woman gene. Like, hey, you who fled from Cambodia, here's $4. Push my fucking feet around for 2 days. I'm going to fucking read a Time magazine while you push my fucking cuticles around. I feel bad. Oh, let's see. Yeah, hey, I'm not for any of this prostitution or sex slavery, but I'll pay a bitch $8 to work on my fucking feet. What's more condescending? I get a reach around or you work on your feet for an hour? I would argue there's more dignity in giving Robert Kraft a fucking handy on a table. There's much more dignity in that than you and your fucking feet soaking for an hour and then pushing your cuticles around while wearing a dust mask. I don't know. Evidently, there's something so foul about women's feet that they have to wear a respirator. I'm not comfortable with people doing this. Also, I don't really know what you can get done with the big acrylic ones, and then they have them like bedazzled, and they're putting their spray painting like they got the sunset on there and all that. Can you type with the big nails? Can't do anything, right? No, it's not good. It sends a weird. So I always want to look at them and go, "Who wipes your ass?" Because clearly, you must be so affluent that you have a servant who just stands by the toilet clipping his nails, pushing his cuticles, doing that weird little V fold on the end of the toilet paper that makes you feel like you've arrived when you go into the hotel room. Like, hey, somebody was thinking of me. Look at that weird fold. I like a little origami. I like to wipe my ass with origami. That's my thing. What were you talking about?
So in the last 25 minutes, cuticles, that's all you got on manicure?
Oh, manicures.
All right, we're moving
manicures.
On.
Sorry.
Never knew you had so many thoughts on nails.
You're not wrong.
Yeah, but it is very weird and symbolic, like the poor woman from the land far away just fucks with your feet. Your feet, like, you know, grovel. Yeah. Get on your feet.
Back in Jesus' day, he didn't mess with the feet.
Yeah. And then I like the trends. I like the trends where they have, like, the flesh-eating guppies.
Yes. Oh, God. Oh, my God. In my friends, when they went to Thailand, they did that. I can't imagine anything more horrific.
They nibble on the dead skin or whatever.
They eat all the dead skin off your feet.
They make a meal out of the dead skin. You know, they fricassee it.
It just seems like...
Oh, my God.
There's got to be other ways to remove skin from your feet.
Yeah. How about a pumice stone?
Or you could just leave them.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. I don't really, as you can tell, I don't really do a lot of that. But every once in a while when I get a pedicure, I feel exactly like you described. And I start becoming a full assault on myself. Just like, oh, I'm so sorry. God, have you ever seen nails this bad? And like, I can't be comfortable in that environment.
I'm the worst because like, people do this thing. I don't know. I'm not sure where it comes from. Now guys do it as well. They go, you have a saltwater pool? And I go, no, it's a regular chlorine pool. I go, oh, you getting in it every day? Like, yeah, I am. Yeah, that's bad. You know, like, after you get in it, your like skin's all itchy and stuff like that. You got a shower. And I'm like, no, I have no fucking idea what you're talking about. I'm in the pool every single day. I get out of the pool. I dry myself off. I get dressed. I go to work. Mm-hmm. I don't get skin all itchy from the chlorine. What is that? Where did that come from? I have had a saltwater pool. I have had a chlorine pool, and much like my vodka shot challenge, I don't know if anyone could really tell the difference, especially those who claim you're so itchy, and then the chlorine, and there's always some yenta next to them going, oh yeah, you're so itchy. It's like, no, there's chlorine in the water that comes out of the shower head. Probably a little less, but probably not that much less. Anyway, Sonny is... That boy is screwed because...
a lot of dates coming up.
I am going out almost every night and doing stand-up for
is
free.
Is he keeping up with you?
Lynette said he did it at like midnight the other night.
He was... you know, there are things... I guess... let's try to figure out. Like, there's good buzz and bad buzz, or bad buzz catch, or good buzz catch, or bad beats and good beats, watching SportsCenter and Van Pelt and that kind of stuff, which is... If you've been sitting in your room, like if you're sitting in your room and you're having a little scotch and you like walk into the kitchen and you flip the light on and there's a giant cockroach and it like scurries under the bread basket, you can't find the thing or whatever, that's bad buzz territory. When you've had a couple of scotches and you're walking out of your den heading into the kitchen and you see your son lowering, it's at night, it's 44 degrees outside. Lynette's standing there while Sonny's lowering himself into a freezing swimming pool
just
and
go
going
fast,
on our. That was the best buzz catch I ever got. I just walked out. What's going on? So he's like, I'm getting it over with. Mom says I can do the jacuzzi. It's just as cold.
The jacuzzi.
More controlled, less deep.
Yeah, that's. Oh,
is
we
the
have
jacuzzi
a,
just cold?
Yeah. If
oh, it's
you,
not on?
If you look at the...
It's
attached.
Oh,
it's the one that like flows in and out, right?
Yeah. If you look at the temp thing, it'll do jacuzzi and the pool, and they're always the same because nothing's on.
Yeah, this is 45 degrees outside.
Sunny.
Like Jesus walking on water, right?
Even I see got him a towel.
Sonny's walking out into the... Do they have a film of it? Oh, yeah.
Because it says just as cold.
Yeah, that's fine.
Oh, God.
Take the shirt off, buddy. It's better.
You'll be fine. You can do it.
Lynette, turn the corner.
You got it.
Yeah, another 700 years should be on the same page.
I always go slow.
No, just dive in, man.
It's dark outside.
Take the shirt off.
It's like a horror movie.
I don't know. I don't even dive in. I move with purpose, but I don't dive in.
Was that Natalia taking pictures through the window?
Natalia's
with
in the window.
With your watch on? You going to do it with your watch on?
Yeah. I think he's waving at me.
All right, come on, Sonny.
Hi, Dad.
He's still in? Just standing in it.
All right.
Is it worth it just to make him proud?
Oh,
yes. His deal.
I need to do it now to get it over with.
It ain't about me, man. I'm going to be gone, and you got
to... She's such a nervous wreck, she won't let me go to the end. He doesn't need to go.
Just go over here.
It's a boy named Jacuzzi. No, he's fine. I got to make him tough, because he'll be on his own one day.
Yeah. Get tough or die.
Yeah, well, he's going in all week.
He's been doing it all the time.
All right, get in, son. Yeah, enough dilly-dallying.
Yeah, I got to freshen up a highball.
You want to try this?
Go to the end. Come on, sonny.
Get in there. Yeah. Lowering himself.
It's 45 degrees outside. No, it is freezing.
He doesn't want to go in the dark pool. He doesn't want to go in the dark.
This is the same. It's the same. Good.
Go, sonny.
I'm going out. There's Philly.
Look at Phil's going to go in.
I'm going out every single night this week. So he's screwed.
Go with sonny.
God, he's making it so much worse on himself.
And I went last night. He throws himself. He goes underwater, which is pretty.
You got it, sonny. You got it.
Do it quick, son.
Yeah, you've been in there for a while.
Sonny, I can't believe you can do it.
Will it count if I just...
No,
you have to go to the end. Okay, wait.
He
doesn't want to go in the dark pool.
It's all right. We're here.
He doesn't want to go in the dark pool. He really doesn't.
Can I just go under here and put my head under for a bit?
Yeah.
Okay, go.
He's standing in the jacuzzi right now, and he's going to just dunk himself like a witch.
You got it, sonny.
In the jacuzzi.
You got it.
There he goes.
The shirt's a mistake. When you get out, it's going to cling to you.
He likes the shirt. Relax. And he has huge areolas, so he's a little self-conscious about it. It's a Corolla trait. You know, it's genetic.
I still need the videotape.
Underwater. Here we go. Anyway. He's
I gotta
just
see it.
Standing in a pitch black backyard.
It's a good pod.
Yeah.
Get it done, sonny.
Nah, I don't know. He doesn't have school the next day, I don't think.
Hey, you sleep it off.
He was dreading.
Sleep it off.
He's been in there for a long time.
Yeah, if he just dunked it, he'd be out and dry by now.
He'd be in bed.
It's a life lesson. We could all go home.
This is torture for him. Why would he do this to himself?
Natalia, watch. Watch.
God, we don't have neighbors close by. They think we're the weirdest family ever.
Okay. And
You'll be fine.
Come on.
Dunk it.
Do it.
This is unpleasant.
It's unpleasant.
Sonny, please.
All right.
No.
I'm going to go, Sonny.
Come on.
Sonny,
bunny. Yeah, I got to see it.
I know. There's something weirdly compelling about this, not to the listener.
He'd be dry and in bed by now if he had just dunked himself.
I know. Sonny, and Dana Gould is in, so we'll talk to him in a second.
Thank you, God.
He just went under.
Yay.
Now he's out.
Now all of a sudden he's done.
All right, Sonny.
Keep taking.
All right.
Good job, little boy. How's Natalia doing with the soda?
I think she's doing well, but someone needs to now have a conversation with her, which is the giant lemonade is about the same as the soda.
So it's more about the carbonation then.
Well, I'm going to have to have that, but it's definitely a start.
Yeah.
So I was like Joe Pesci being made last night. I went to the Comedy Store and it's like, you're in. You made the rotation of real comedians. And I was like, I didn't know enough about it to really appreciate it enough, but evidently it's a big deal that you crack that lineup. Somebody decides whether you get in or you don't get in, and it doesn't really matter who you are or what you've done or how many tickets you've sold or how big of arenas you played. A lot of people don't get in. And I was really flattered that they let me in. But I also had this experience when I was walking up the stage. I was like, oh, now I'm nervous because I got let in.
Oh, yeah. I'm made man.
Is this a button ceremony or getting shot?
I'm a made man at the Comedy Store.
Yeah.
And so the way you do it is you kind of phone in every Monday and you sort of tell them your availability, and then they make a schedule for the week where they slot you in this place or that place, and then they get back to you and tell you what the schedule
That's
is.
Great.
And the thing why Sonny is screwed is I called in on Monday and I was like, well, I'm going to the Ice House on Wednesday and I'm going to do the main room at the Comedy Store on Saturday. So my avails are Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Sunday. So I just came every day that I wasn't at somewhere else, and they'll go, okay, we'll make the schedule.
Oh,
so
man.
Now he's getting in that pool a lot this year. He had a nice 1 week break, but now he's getting in. All right, let's see. We can Dana Gould is out there. Oh, the Corolla newsletter. If you want to sign up for the Corolla newsletter, go to CorollaNewsletter.com. We'll have a lot of the highlights of the week, and you can sign up and win yourself possibly a chance for take a tour of the car museum and watch the big game over there with Kimmel working on the hot links and the smoked wings. Ooh. And all that kind of stuff. So go to CorollaNewsletter.com. That Dana Gould is out there. We got some Max Pata pulled some great Huell Hauser clips, and we'll do that right after this.